Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
I will worship you, lift you high above the earth and the heaven. I will worship you, lift you high above the earth and the heaven.
Thanks, Lord, we bless you. Indeed, there is none like you. Tonight, as we wait on you and as we prepare our hearts to receive your word, reveal yourself more unto us, your plans for us, your purposes concerning us. And in Jesus' mighty name have I prayed. Let everybody say amen. Can you put your hands together for Jesus wherever you stand? God bless you, and you may be seated. Please turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 28. And we're reading from verse 18 to 20. From the New Living Translation, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Another opening of scripture, John chapter 15, we are reading from verse number 1 to verse 11. I am the true grapevine, this is Jesus speaking, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you, even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. And the last verse, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. For the past few weeks, I've been sharing with us on the broad subject, reproducing for Christ, which is an aspect of our theme for the year. The full theme is rooted in Christ, reproducing for Christ. Can you lift your right hand with me and say, I will be rooted in Christ. I will reproduce for Christ. So at the beginning of the year, on Sundays, during our times of restoration, I shared extensively on being rooted in Christ. And for this month, which is our month of outreach and fruitfulness, I chose during our times of impartation, that is our midweek services, teaching services, to share on reproducing for Christ. So we've looked at different dimensions of it. Now, I believe that from what you have heard so far, it is clear to you that every living thing was created with one assignment in mind. And that assignment was to reproduce. And so we read from Genesis chapter 1, which recounts the story of creation. And we discovered that after God had created the trees and the plant life, He gave them an instruction to reproduce. Same thing happened after He had created the birds of the air, the fishes, and all the living creatures in the sea, in the water bodies, the different types of animals that walk, that crawl upon the earth. He gave the same command: reproduce, produce after your own kind. Man, or humanity, was the masterpiece of God's creation, and He also, God said to him, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. It is the same command to reproduce, which is why we can say convincingly that every living thing was created with one assignment in mind, and that assignment is to reproduce. Now, this instruction to reproduce has also been given to every child of God, every believer, because we are living creatures. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you become born again, you become a new creature. And you are living. And that instruction to reproduce is also given to you. Can I have an amen? And believers, Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, are supposed to reproduce. Jesus did not save us to just sit in our churches, enjoy the worship, enjoy the music, dance and be happy, enjoy the sermon that is preached, and that is it. That is not the plan of God at all. His plan is that I am saving you, but I have in mind that you will multiply my life in others. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the main essence of the Christian faith. And what it means is that if we are not carrying that thing out, we have failed on our mandate. That is why we talk about the Great Commission and try to explain to every believer that the Great Commission is not something that was issued to just pastors and to ministers of the religion or to the overzealous Krife brother or sister. That's not what it is. It's an instruction. It is a command that Christ gave to every believer. Yes, He spoke to the believers who were present at the time, but it's an instruction that has been carried across and was meant to be carried across through different generations of Christians and believers. Unfortunately, many of us are Christians are not carrying out this divine mandate. And I think that one of the reasons why perhaps we don't do this is because we are not aware that there are actually rewards that God has in place for those who fulfill this commandment or who carry out this instruction. Tonight, I'm going to share with you on the rewards of reproducing for Christ. The rewards of reproducing for Christ. And I trust that it will help all of us to decide to carry out the master's instruction and to fulfill the reason why we were saved and we came to Christ. The first reward, and I'm going to focus on a number of them. We'll just take it one after the other and see how far we can go. But the very first reward for reproducing, or of reproducing for Christ, is the reward of the assurance of the presence of the Lord. The reward of the assurance of the presence of the Lord with us. Amen. The reward of the assurance of the presence of the Lord with us. Look again at Matthew 28 verse 20, this time from the New King James Version. The reward of the assurance of the presence of the Lord with us. All right. So Matthew 28 verse 20, I want to feel you. Can you read it with me? Ready? Go. Amen. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Then what is the next thing he says there? And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Remember that this is connected to the earlier verses, verse 18 and 19. So let's go back to them again. Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Next verse, 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then it comes to verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And then it is followed by a semicolon. All right? So what it means is that everything else that is following is linked to what has come before. And what follows is that, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You cannot isolate this assurance of his presence from what was said earlier on. And the inference to draw from this is this: that he's assuring us that when we carry out the Great Commission, we have a certain guarantee that he will be with us always, even to the end of the age. It is true that you'll find scriptures where he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that you may boldly say that the Lord is my helper, and I'll not fear what man can do unto me. I'm not going to dispute that. But neither should we fail to see that he talked about, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, in connection to making disciples of the nations. And what that should tell us, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a certain assurance of the presence of the Lord with us that comes with you and I reproducing for Christ. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the rewards of reproducing for Christ. To know that you have the presence of the Lord with you. And there are so many benefits of the presence of the Lord. Give me some of the benefits when the Lord's presence is with you. What are some of the benefits? Protection. Protection. What else can you think of? What's that? Peace. Mamiaka samente baza. Preservation. preservation, victory, joy, rest, satisfaction, favor, open doors. All these are benefits that you derive from having the presence of God with you. And here in the scripture we looked at, Jesus assures us that when we go and make disciples of the nations of the earth, which is when we reproduce for Christ, His presence is assured. And based on this, we can say that one of the rewards of reproducing for Christ is that we will receive the assurance of the presence of the Lord with us all the time. Hallelujah. Reward number two. The second reward that a believer can expect when he reproduces for Christ is the reward of spiritual growth and maturity. The reward of spiritual growth and maturity. When you reproduce for Christ, you can experience this reward of spiritual growth and maturity. And I'll explain how it happens. John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, from the New Living Translation this time. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. Verse 2. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so that they will produce even more. Jesus Christ describes himself as the vine or the grapevine, and says that the Father is the husbandman or the gardener. Then elsewhere, he has made it clear that you and I are the branches. Now, from these verses we read, it appears that there are two types of branches. There are branches that are not producing fruit. And he makes it clear that any branch of his, so it is not that you are not of him, because he says every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, you belong to him. You are a branch and you were connected to him. But when you don't reproduce, he says what is ultimately is going to happen to you is that he's going to cut you off. That is disturbing. I don't know whether that disturbs you, but it greatly disturbs me. That you are a branch. You are connected to Christ. But he's warning you that because you are not reproducing for him, a time is going to come that he's going to cut you off. But I don't want you to get depressed. So let me move quickly away from that to the other branch, type of branch that is in him. And then he moves on and talks about branches that do bear fruit. That means they reproduce. So in Christ Jesus, there are branches that do not produce fruit. They do not reproduce. And there are branches that produce fruit, or they reproduce. And then he says something here. He says that the branches that do bear fruit, he prunes. That means he works on them. He puts them in a better shape. Why? So that they will produce more fruit. So that they will reproduce more. Now, I want to say to you that fruitfulness attracts growth. I'll say that again. Fruitfulness or reproducing attracts growth. It brings growth. It stirs up growth. I am involved with a friend's farm somewhere in the central region. And it's a 20-acre farm. And mostly on the farm, we have oil palm. We are just into the third year of the oil palm cultivation. And it takes about 4.5-5 years to start enjoying fruits, the fruits of the oil palm tree. But beside the oil palm, there are also a lot of coconut trees. And these coconut trees were already on the land when my friend bought it. So he's enjoying of the fruits of the coconut tree. And the juice from the coconuts of the trees on that farm tastes very heavenly. One day, if I'm in a good mood and I'm coming, I shall bring you some. All right, so pray that I'll be in a good mood and I'll remember you and bring you some. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we decided to get somebody to work on the coconut trees because we realized that they were in need of pruning. And we know from our studies that if we don't prune them, they will not produce more fruits. And the pruning involves cutting off certain branches, because some of the branches have dried up and they are of virtually no use. So you cut them off. That's what Jesus is talking about. And then some of the other branches, you trim off leaves. You do all sorts of things. But that thing, it gives rise to better growth of the coconut tree. And it causes it to produce more at the end of the day. Can I have an amen? Exactly. Now, when you are a believer, you are a child of God, and you are reproducing and you are bearing fruit, it does something for you. Some way, somehow, it helps your spiritual growth and maturity. Because as you are reproducing, winning souls and discipling them, you recognize that I need to grow. I need to pray more. I need to study the word of God more. I need to behave better because I have people looking to me. So some way, somehow, because you are into reproducing for Christ, it provokes a certain growth in you. And it therefore becomes a reward. Your spiritual growth and maturity. You discover that I am doing better. I know God better. I'm deeper into the word. I am praying more. I am more committed. I am more serious. And all of that is connected to the fact that you are busy reproducing for Christ. It stirs up spiritual growth and maturity in you. It makes you sit up. So you will discover that a lot of believers who are not growing and are not maturing, one of the common traits that you discover in them is that they are not reproducing for Christ. They don't have anybody who is looking to them for guidance, for direction, for growth, and for increased knowledge. Because if you have somebody who is looking to you for all of these things, the person is going to ask you a lot of questions. And you must have answers for the person, because you are the one God used to save the person. And you have that responsibility to disciple the person and help the person's spiritual growth. Now, you have to grow yourself to be able to help somebody else to grow. And when that reality hits you, that I have people looking to me, I am bringing people to Christ, I'm reproducing for Christ, when you become aware that this is the life that God has led you into, it helps you to rise up and not to stay at the same level in your Christian experience. How many can understand what I'm explaining to you? So one of the rewards of spiritual, one of the rewards of reproducing for Christ is that it helps you to experience spiritual growth and maturity. Number three, the third reward of reproducing for Christ is the reward of more fruitfulness. The reward of more fruitfulness. Which takes us back to verse number 2 of John 15. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit. They are already bearing fruit, but he prunes them so that they will produce even more. That means that they will become more fruitful. So as you are reproducing for Christ, God works on you, and you begin to reproduce more. I've come to see that usually it is the people who are doing something for God who end up being given more responsibilities. And in this church, I have a number of people. They are not many, but they are playing multiple roles in the church. They are a member of this board. They are a member of this team. They are a member of this. They are a member of that. And sometimes I feel very bad, because I feel that I am overloading them with responsibilities. But you see, there's a principle at work here. That it's like the one who has more is being given more. That's why in this life, the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. Hallelujah. So here Jesus says that the branches that bear fruit, he works on them so that they'll produce even more. They become more and more fruitful. I don't know of any farmer who doesn't want to have more fruits. And in this farm that I'm helping out with, there are some chemicals, fertilizers, liquid fertilizers, that actually help the crops to produce more. So recently, we sprayed the coconut trees with this kind of chemical. It's called Superglow, and the farmers use it, and what it does is that it brings about more growth. So you see, the pruning brings about more growth. That is what the farmer wants. And the application of some of these safe chemicals, fertilizers, natural whatever, the intention is so that there will be more fruits. And the farmer can enjoy the reward of having more fruits. So elsewhere, there's a cocoa farm also that we are involved in. And we've applied Superglow, and we can see the effect. So the farmers who use these things, when you check their cocoa trees, you can see that from the top to the bottom, there are a lot of fruits on the tree. And those who are just there and they don't take good care of the farm, you can only see a few fruits on it, because every farmer wants to have more fruits, if your mind is working well. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the rewards of every believer, every child of God who produces fruits, is that you receive a reward of becoming more fruitful. And if souls are precious to the Lord, and if even at the salvation of one person, heaven rejoices, can you imagine how excited heaven will be when through you many more fruits have been produced? Number four, the fourth reward of producing for Christ is the reward of answered prayers. The reward of answered prayers. How many of you want your prayers to be answered? Can I see by show of hand? Beautiful. How many of you have prayed some prayers that have not yet been answered? Can I see by show of hands? All right. And I want you to draw your attention to something that can help you to experience answered prayer. John 15, verse 5 to 7. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Now, verse 7. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Notice that the first word there is what word? What is the first word? Say that again. Say that again. But. Now you only bring in buts because you've said something before. And before, it was talking about producing for Christ, or reproducing, or bearing fruit. Then it talks about so many things. And one of the things it talks about there is that you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Now, if this doesn't convince you, can you move to verse 16? You didn't choose me. I chose you. What did I choose you to do? I appointed you to go and do what? Produce lasting fruit. In other words, reproduce. So that, it means that what is following is connected to the first part. So that, that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. You cannot just quote the scripture when you are praying without reminding yourself that it is connected to reproducing for Christ. And it means that if we want to have the joy of answered prayers, one of the things that constantly and intentionally we must do is to reproduce for Christ. So when we do that, we experience the reward of answered prayers. Hallelujah. Number five, and we are inching closer and closer to the end of today's teaching. I hope it's been a blessing so far. The fifth reward of reproducing for Christ is the reward of divine joy. Everybody say divine joy. The reward of divine joy. Now, let's read some scriptures. Luke chapter 15, verse 3 to 10. So Jesus told them the story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. He continues, Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin." In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. This is divine joy. And the Bible is saying that there is so much joy when a sinner turns to God and is saved. But then look at another scripture in John 15, verse 10 to 11. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. And just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Remember that one of his commandments is to reproduce for him. Then he says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with what? My joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Amen. It is clear from the earlier scripture I read in Luke 15 that every time we win a soul and disciple somebody, the angels rejoice. Heaven is excited. The Father is pleased. Amen. But you see, this joy that I'm talking about, it is not only heaven that experiences it. You, the one who is involved in winning souls, in discipling people, in reproducing for Christ, there is also a certain joy that is difficult to explain that you have. When you realize that God has actually used you to save others. This joy that I'm talking about, it is different from the joy that you have when you have a lot of money. It is different from the joy that you have when you've been successful at something. This joy that I'm talking about, it's a joy that comes because you recognize that somebody's life has been changed and transformed because of you. And that joy is real. And Paul talks about it also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 to 20. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19 to 20. He says, after all, what gives us hope and joy? What gives us what? Hope and joy. And what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns? And he answers, it is you. You, the believers in the church in Thessalonica, you give us a lot of joy. And I'm explaining to you, my friends, that there is a certain reward of great joy, of divine joy. It is not earthly joy. It is joy that comes from above. It is part of the joy that heaven itself enjoys whenever somebody is saved, whenever a life is restored. And you, the one through whom the person is saved, you also experience that joy. And this thing, you have to feel it to understand it. If you've never experienced it before, it is because you've never gone through what I'm talking about. And it's a wonderful feeling to know that God has used you to change some lives. It is one of the reasons why I do what I do. It's one of the reasons why I am a pastor. It gives me a lot of gratification to see that God uses me to make people's lives better. And whenever I meet people and I talk to them and they tell me the story of their lives and I can see that things are better, it gives me great joy. And I know that it is the doing of the Lord, but I had a part to play. Hallelujah. So I'm explaining to you that there's a certain joy that you also can experience if you will only embrace this commandment to reproduce for Christ. Number six, the sixth reward of reproducing for Christ is the reward of eternal impact. the reward of eternal impact. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Daniel 12:3. It says, those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. They will shine like the stars forever. That means they will shine in eternity. That means that their impact will never fail. Amen. And will never fade away. And Bible theologians agree that it is talking, this verse is talking about soul winning. That when you win souls, when you disciple people, when you bring people to Christ, there is a reward that you get. And that reward is that you will have an eternal impact. You will shine like the stars forever. How many would like to shine? You want your life to be a shining life. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the ways you can experience this and in eternity is when you take seriously this instruction to reproduce for Christ. Can I have an amen from somebody? And never underestimate the impact that you alone can have. Because one soul can impact generations. One person can impact his family. One person can impact a nation. I'll give you examples. Let me give you biblical examples and give you modern life or, you know, contemporary examples. If you take somebody like Abraham, he was one man. But when God called him, he told him that in you shall all the nations of the world be blessed. And you and I, who are living thousands of years after Abraham, we are enjoying of his legacy. One man, because he believed God and obeyed, his life and his story has impacted several generations. How many of you know of John Wesley and Charles Wesley? John Wesley is the founder of the Methodist Church. He worked closely with his brother Charles, who composed a lot of hymns, Methodist hymns. But you see, one person connected to them that we don't hear much about is their mother. She was called Susanna Wesley. It was her upbringing and nurturing of her children by the grace of God that made them turn out the way they did. And through these two guys, especially John, look at the impact that he has had across the world. One person. Hallelujah. Let's bring it home to Africa. Take somebody like Nelson Mandela. One man who fought, resisted every attempt to bring him down, and was resolute. And the result of that was that an evil, oppressive system called apartheid crumbled. Nobody ever imagined that it will ever do so. But the one who spearheaded that change, that transformation, was this guy called Nelson Mandela. Martin Luther, who brought about the Reformation. One man who got up one day and said, this nonsense must stop. He wrote 95 theses and nailed them to the door of the church. Who would have imagined that one person can bring about the Reformation and brought a powerful institution like the Catholic Church to its knees and broke that stranglehold that it had on the Christian community. One man. I don't want you to ever underestimate and downplay on the impact you can have. Sometimes somebody that you meet in a corner somewhere who doesn't seem to have anything going for him or her may actually be somebody who will bring about a major change in his family, in his community, at his workplace, in his school, in his nation. You may never know. And that kind of impact or that kind of effect can be eternal, because he says that those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. May you become one of the shining stars when we get to heaven. Hallelujah. Last but one, the reward of divine partnership is the next reward for reproducing for Christ. The reward of divine partnership. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 to 9. Paul is speaking here. He said, I planted the seed, that is the seed of God's word, in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. So it's a partnership. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. So Paul talks about how he planted. Then he also talks about how Apollos watered. Then he talks about how God gave the increase. Then he says that we are co-workers. We are laborers together with God. That means that we have a partnership with him. I mean, would you not be excited when you are offered a partnership with MTN or Ashanti Gold, or which other company would you like to be a partner in? Shell! Can you imagine what a great blessing and privilege it is to be offered a partnership in something that is working? Not somebody who is struggling to sell tomatoes at the market and is offering you shares in her tomato business. What business? That's not what I'm talking about here. And here I'm saying to you that, can you imagine that you are actually, you and I are partners with God? Is it not a great reward? Is it not a great privilege? So why do we discard it? Why do we not embrace such a partnership? It means that something is not working correctly and we are not thinking straight. You would jump when you are given an opportunity to become a partner in a firm or a corporation that is thriving. Why then, oh, why is it that we are not excited to know that we have a partnership with God? Do you think that you can have a partnership with God and not receive tremendous benefits from that partnership? Ladies and gentlemen, one of the rewards of reproducing for Christ is partnership, divine partnership with God. And the last reward is the reward of heavenly crowns. The reward of heavenly crowns. So again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, after all, what gives us hope and joy? 1 Thessalonians 2:19. And what will be our proud reward? Did you see the word reward? And crown. Did you see the word crown? As we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns, it is you. So Paul is talking about heavenly crowns, and it is connected to the lives that he has affected. He and his team of missionaries, the lives that they have affected, the lives that they have imparted. He's saying that there is a crown, there is a reward that they will receive because of that work that they have done. Again, Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, 7 to 8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. 2 Timothy 4, 7 to 8. And I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And I like this last part because I can see myself here. He says, and the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Ladies and gentlemen, there are crowns for those who excel in the service of the Lord. Because Paul is talking in the first part of this scripture about service that he has offered. All the work that he did and everything. He's saying that there is a crown waiting for me. Onyekwa, it is not in vain. What we do for God is not in vain. What we do for God is not in vain. What we do for God is not in vain. Therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. My brother, my sister, there is a crown that you can receive if you would take up this task of reproducing for Christ and do your best. There are crowns for those who win souls. There are crowns for those who disciple others. Heaven is not just a place we'll end up in. It's a place where crowns will also be distributed. Have you ever been at a speech and prize giving day and you felt very sad because you didn't get some? How many have experienced that before? Yes. It's not a nice feeling. It's not a nice feeling. And if you are a student and you don't get prize and you don't feel anything about it, your parents have wasted their time and they have wasted their money. And you're torn. Yes. You must always strive to excel. That when they are mentioning names for people to come forward and receive prizes, your name should be included. You see, now you may say that, oh, whatever, no yamanye there, I made it to heaven. Once I get there, I'm not worried about anything. But when we get there, you would say, have you not read where it said that you will wipe away our tears? They'll be crying. And the crying will be cries of regrets, of missed opportunities, including the opportunity to avail yourself for God to use you to save other people, to reproduce for Christ. And now they are calling people. John, achu awanyo. Then heaven is applauding. Then I'll go and I receive my crown. Apostle Abraham Saki. Look, and I tell him all the time that the work that he's doing with children, a lot of people will be surprised when we get to heaven. We'll be very, very, very surprised. Not many people like to work with children. Many people see children as nuisances and disturbances, and there's a certain heart that they don't have for them. That's why when you do an altar call in church for people to join the children's ministry, you are likely to get enyabe too. Because many people don't respect it. There's a crown for him. Ejeriba, I also want you to get your own. Ate. I want you to get your crown. Thank God for the beautiful songs that you minister in the house of the Lord. I believe that you will get crowns for that. But beyond that, there are other crowns that you must get some. Because remember that the commandment, the clear, the main thing that he's called us to do is to make disciples for Christ Jesus. I want you to shine in every other area of your life. I want you to shine in every service that you are rendering in the house of God. I would never downplay on the importance of these different things that we do, including even the things that we do in the secular world. I want to encourage you that even in your secular pursuits, excel and shine. Because God even uses that to make a statement to the unbelieving world. But I want to tell you that one clear instruction he's given to us is to reproduce for him. And to reproduce for Christ is not ambiguous. Let's not turn it into something else and try and twist and turn and move it in all kinds of ways to make it say something that it is not saying. So you sing for the Lord, but you must reproduce for Christ. You serve in the media team, but you must reproduce for Christ. You are an usher. You are a protocol lady, but you must reproduce for Christ. And together, may we receive our rewards when we stand before him on that day. Hallelujah. God bless you. Bow down your heads and let us pray. Father, I want to thank you today for your word. Thank you for this teaching on reproducing for Christ. And thank you, Father, for enlightening us about rewards that are available for those who reproduce for Christ. May this word convince us to step up in our efforts to produce more fruits. The word says that in this are you glorified, when we bear much fruit. Thank you for everyone who joined in this service today, both in person and online. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord, my friends. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.